chapter 6. I'd like to begin reading verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can you say amen to the reading of God's Word?
Amen.
Amen. I wish to share tonight a message I'd like to title, The Perfect Garden. The Perfect Garden. You may be seated. Not 100% sure how it's going to go here tonight. Just kind of go. I'd like to read that same passage of Scripture out of the Amplified Bible, those that are familiar with that. The Amplified takes the King James basis, and then it takes the Strong's definitions and interjects it right into the same verses. So basically what you have is the King James with the definition all into one reading. And I really appreciated the way it's written. I'd like to read that same passage, if I could, please. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow Himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked. For whatever a man sows, that and that only will he reap. For he that sows to his flesh, his nature, his sensuality, will from flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life eternal. Let us not lose heart and grow weary in faith and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen, relax our courage and faint. I think it's an interesting passage. It is, to me, I always am so thankful that the Lord brings things together in a way that He does tonight. So many things were said by so many people in way of testimony, in way of song, and Brother Doug's leading of the service. The very idea of putting your hands to the plow, keeping moving forward, not losing heart. The passage Brother Doug read to us out of the book of Psalms. And I like that. That first word, help. Can you say that with me tonight? Help. Let's put the second word with it. Help, Lord. I like that. It's where we are. It is in such an hour where not only is sin abounding and it is harder and that deception and it is rampant, but it's the whole picture of things that's evil. There isn't, it's impossible to place just one thing, because with all of the decay, with all of the lack of morality, with all of the struggles, there comes a sense of lack of love. Because the love of the many shall wax cold, we see it. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of the majority, the love of many shall wax cold. One of the greatest struggles that you and I have in this final hour, in the midst of all that, is keeping our love where it needs to be. Staying close to God, because it is so discouraging, it is so disheartening, it is so bothersome on every side. It's in the church, it's without of the church, it's in our homes, it's on our jobs, it's everywhere, and I'll tell you, it's a struggle. I believe that it's not just one. I believe we are all in a battle, we are all in a struggle, and oftentimes it seems hard to keep your head above water. When you get one thing fixed, something else breaks down. And when you feel good spiritually, then physically something happens. When you feel good physically, spiritually something happens. And it seems like it's an ever-revolving door to just stay afloat. I don't know if that's just you or if that's me, but I don't believe that it's any coincidence that our church services are struggled, because our lives are struggled. We're strained in church because we're strained at home. You can't have it at home. home and not bring it to church. It's impossible. You can't separate it. And I'm just to the point where I'm just crying out what the pastor read tonight. Lord, help. Help, Lord. I need Your deliverance. You're the only one that can help us out of the strain. You're the only one that can help and deliverance in time of need. And I don't know about you, but I sure would like to live in a land called perfect. Do you remember that Walgreens commercial? Had for a long time the land called perfect, but since you're nowhere near that land, you got Walgreens. Remember that commercial? That way it can help you out along the way. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe that you and I are working and laboring to build and to plant a perfect garden. I believe we can have it. I believe that we can labor and have a garden in which is perfect. I've kept all of my points and even my title with this letter P. Maybe you'll be able to remember them, a perfect garden. And I'll be dealing with the stages of planting and harvesting and reaping. And one of the things that I have so much appreciated about moving to Eastern North Carolina is my understanding and my availability to see the agricultural process at work. In the mountains, you don't have endless fields. You don't have miles of crops of soybeans and sweet potatoes and corn that seem like they don't end. I mean, you get down there where Brother John's at and you look for miles and see them growing and even further around and watch them come in and harvest that and see the pickers out there. I've had a privilege to watch them pick by hand. I've watched them pick with combines. I've watched them labor. I had the privilege in Mexico going down a field to watch an old sower with his seed bag walking through the fields and still sowing by hand. I think it's a very wonderful process to be able to see this thing called growth in the plant life. And since I've been here, I can tell you I actually have a little greater appreciation for that process. And I'd like to share tonight four stages of gardening. Now, if I don't get everything just right, please forgive me for those gardeners that are among us, because I'm not. I may put squash where the beans need to be and vice versa. I'm not a gardener. I don't know all the process, but I just know there's four general processes that takes place in gardening that have to happen for you to have a successful crop. I'd like to share those four stages. Every situation of your life, you will find it in one of these four stages. I promise you, every situation. And to be quite honest, you may find different situations that you are in at different stages in this process. You may find where one situation, you're just beginning to plant. And then in another situation, you will find out where you're actually reaping from times where you've already planted. But every stage of life, everything you do, every place that you are, every circumstance, your children, your home, your church, your marriage, everything, your job, everything that you are at, you will find that you are in one of these stages where that you have been part of planting a garden. There is never an hour in your life that you are not in this process. You are always at one stage or another that whether you like it or not, you're either preparing, you're planting, or you're maintaining, or you're picking. One or the other, you are always doing it. You are planting at one point, you are harvesting, you're reaping. I don't care where you are. You are never idle in the process of planting a garden. Throughout the Scripture, there's numerous places, and I did not bring all of them together, where the Lord uses this illustration. We know it as the law of sowing and reaping. No matter what you sow, you're going to reap it. We've quoted the Scripture so many times over, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that is what he's going to reap. And that only is what he is going to reap." There is a law. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. There is a process. In every stage, in every situation that you are in, whether it's from the thoughts of your heart to the very actions of your body, you are planting a garden. How is that garden going to turn out? It is a garden. Is it going to be a perfect garden? Or is it going to be a garden full of weeds that has choked the life out of it and doesn't bring fruit in the end? What are you planting? How are you planting? What kind of garden do you have? The first stage I wish to share is this idea. Now, one thing about this is because we are always in the process, it always turns over. So, for the sake of the message, I had to begin somewhere. I could have started with reaping. Because quite simply, there's a lot of us that are in this church tonight that are reaping the benefits of what someone else has already planted. So I could have started with reaping. I could have started. But I wish to start with the basics tonight, if I may. This idea of preparing. Before you ever plant the garden, you got to get prepared. The garden and the ground has got to be prepared. You have got to be prepared. You've got to gather the seeds. There's things that have to be done before the ground, before the plant or before the seed ever gets put in the ground. Now each one of these, the first one is preparing. Three ways in which you and I must prepare our garden. The first one is you've got to have ground. You can't plant a garden if you don't have ground to put the seed in. You've got to have the ground. You've got to have the means. The door has got to be open. There's got to be somewhere that you can put the seed. Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia, write these things. Saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth the door, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I want you to know tonight, you will never have an excuse of not having the ground to plant in. God has given us opportunity after opportunity to put the seed in. The door is open. He stands at the door and knocks. If you and I will open our eyes, I promise you, there is ground in which you can sow seed. That's it. This works. All of these work two ways, positively and negatively. I promise you, as much as God has gave you an open door, the devil has given you one as well. You've got an open door all the way through this scripture, all the way through Galatians. Paul is writing, given the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. Throughout the passage, you'll read that there's always choosing the good and abhorring the bad, walking away from the flesh and choosing the Spirit. You've got a choice, and the door is a smorgasbord that is laid before you. You can spin your wheels in the flesh, or you can sow to the Spirit. I remember a young teenager. The smorgasbord was always open for me, Brother Doug. I could choose to drink. I could choose to go out and do what I wanted to do. It was there. And God made a way for me. It wasn't for everybody, but for me, I had a choice to choose good and to choose bad. The door's open. You've got the same choices tonight. I don't care if you've been saved 5,000 years. There is still an open door to choose the flesh or to choose the Spirit. And we have got to make a choice. There's a door that's open before us. But if we sow to the flesh, you're never going to have a perfect garden. You're always going to struggle. There'll always be it. And what you and I must always choose is to seek God's open door. Brother Wood shared with us Sunday afternoon that our church has got a lot of open doors right now. We've been door-to-door witnessing, missionary trips. I promise you, If you'd go ask Brother Woods and you'd like to go to Mexico or you want to go with him, I promise you, it would really, really, really blow my mind away if the man didn't want you to go. There'd have to be a solid, stern reason why it may not be good for you at the moment to go. Because there's open door. You've got open doors on your job. There's people in front of you every day. When you go to Walmart, there's an open door. If you're married, you got an open door. If you got children, you got an open door. If you're a man, you got open door. If you're a woman, you've got an open door. If you're an employee, you've got an open door. If you're an employer, you've got an open door. If you go to church, you've got an open door. If you don't go to church, you've got an open door. God has said everything in front of us. How are we going to plant?
Right.
You've got to have the ground. You need to see that you have the ground in God. And the second thing in preparing is you have to have the intended seed. You need to sit down and begin to think what you want to plant. If you want to plant squash, then you need squash seeds. Tomatoes, you need tomato seeds or the plant. Potatoes, you don't plant onions to get potatoes. Whatever you want to receive, you've got to get the seed together. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Joshua said in chapter 24, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which were your fathers served on the other side of the flood, of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've got to make a choice of what seeds you're going to plant. There comes a time in your life, whatever your garden is going to be, you've got to make the choice of the seed. If it's a spiritual seed, choose a spiritual seed. I wrote down some things, some areas in which you can plant, some way of illustration tonight. Maybe you need a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you have a desire for revival, either personal or corporate. Maybe you have a desire to see the church move up. Maybe you have a desire to have a closer relationship with your family. Maybe you'd want a closer relationship with the church. Maybe you want to get better in your job. Maybe you want to be a better songwriter or singer or musician or a preacher or a cabinet maker or a carpenter or a supervisor, whatever you might be, or a man just recently or ready to be retired. Whatever you're choosing to do, whatever you're in, that area's got choices to be made. Brother Al's ready to retire. He's got super choices. Brother John's ready to retire. Choices are there to be made. Brother Max already retired. Choices have got to be made. There, when you need to choose, what seeds do I want to plant? We need to start getting them together. What we call it is a goal. If I want to plant a garden, I go out already and I get you seeds. You want to know what you want in the garden. You might want a whole smorgasbord of vegetables and plants in your garden. You may want herbs, and you may want onions, red and yellow. You may want green beans and string beans and long greens, brown and black. And you've got to choose the right seed. You got to do it in your family. What direction do you want your children to go in? What direction do you want husbands and wives? You choose it for a church. You got to set a goal. But then you've got to gather the seeds that will bring that fruit to pass. If you want revival, you can't get revival without prayer. You got to plant the seeds of prayer. If you want to be a better musician, you can't have it without playing the instrument. If you want to be a better singer, you can't do it without singing. If you want to be a better carpenter, you can't do it without practicing carpentry. If you want to be a good man at retirement, then you got to know where you're going and your goals. Brother John's lost his home. His goal is to reach an end. He's picked certain areas. That's what you got to do. When you're preparing the ground, you got to say, if you look at it as a whole, if Brother John looked at that whole house, and I know he has, I can guarantee you he would have thought, I'll never get there. It'll never come to pass, but what he had to do was begin to plant seeds. Okay, I'm going to tackle the kitchen. I'm going to tackle the walls. I'm going to tackle the floors. After I get that room, I'll go here. After I get that, I'll do this. And what you do is you... Okay, as long as he did that, but if he never done anything to see it come to pass, it had never happened. If we'd have never gathered the material for the floor, then floors would have never got fixed. If we want a perfect garden, we got to gather the intended seeds. We got to get the seeds that'll bring the fruit, that'll bring the result. What goals do you have? Where's your outlook? Young people, where you're headed? Where you want to be? I know the boys has got a game plan. This is where we're going. This is what we want to do. Then you got to work to see it happen. And it works that way in the Spirit. If you don't gather the intended seeds and don't gather them together and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do with them. This is where we want to go. It'll never happen. The second thing is you've got to prepare the ground. The third thing, rather. You've got the seeds, you've got the ground, but you've got to plow it up. If you don't turn the ground, it ain't going to bring fruit. It's going to be unprofitable. It's going to be like that wayside that's been trampled underfoot. It's going to be too hard. The birds will devour it. You've got to break up the ground. And I'll tell you another thing about it, is you not only got to get the ground ready, you got to get ready. How many, I'll pick on the men tonight, how many of you men have projects you just can't get motivated to do? Raise your hand. Anybody got, thank you, Brother Benny. We've all got projects, and you just can't. It isn't that you don't have the capability. Oftentimes it isn't that you don't have the finances. It's the fact that you just don't feel like doing it. You ain't motivated to do it. You know it needs done. You know it's there. But it's not high on the priority list. Brother Doug's got a famous saying. I've adopted it. Maybe I shouldn't. It's on the list. And you fool with me, I'll take it off the list. But if you don't get motivated, you'll never do it. If you don't get grounded, if you don't stir up you, you'll never pray. You'll never turn up the ground if you don't see your weaknesses and acknowledge them and say, this is a failure, this is a problem. You'll never fix it. It'll never produce a perfect garden. If you're not willing to stir it up, you'll continue sowing bad seeds and you'll have an imperfect garden. The hardest thing is to not know that you need to pray. If you've got any sense at all, you know you need to do it. And you know I'm telling the truth tonight. That old fellow used to say, I'm telling you, my hand up. It's getting motivated to pray. Come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's getting motivated to read that book. I'll tell you, but let the bottom fall out of it. And the motivation will go from the bottom of the list to the top. And you'll be ready to pray. But the problem is you haven't had the seeds to prepare it. And now you got to start all over again. Come on. You know when you haven't been praying, someone calls up, and I mean in desperate need, so-and-so's been in a car wreck, so-and-so's got cancer, this problem's happened, someone's dying right now, and you need to pray, and you can fall, and God hears you, but you know in your heart you feel inadequate because you have not prepared and gathered the seeds, and you haven't prepared the ground. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about having a perfect garden. You got to have the ground. You got to have the open door. You got to have the intended seed. And you have to prepare the ground and yourself. In the same passage, verse 1, Paul writes and says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual... Now, let me stop right there. You got two things going on right here. You got two brothers, but two different categories. Now, whether we like it or not, that's what he says. You've got a brother that's fallen, and you've got a spiritual brother. Now, we don't like it, but there's times, I'll promise you, there's been people in this congregation that's been more spiritual than this brother's been. And there are times when I've been more spiritual than you've been. Somebody say amen. We don't like that. But that's what he says, is it not? Brother, let me read it again. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, that lets me know the man that was overtaken in a fault, he wasn't spiritual at that moment. Come on. There was a weakness. There was a failure. But ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Hold that thought. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. End of story. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite. First, cast out the beam of thine eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Those that are spiritual need to help those that are not. Whether we like it or not, that's what the book says. And I'm glad of that, Brother John. I really am. Because there's times I need your help. There's times you need my help. And you need my prayers. And I need your prayers to lift each other up. But first things first, get yourself right. Don't pray for me if you're wrong. Don't preach it if you're wrong. Amen? Yeah. If the brother's got a problem with anger, I don't want him preaching an anger management class. Right. Come on. But if you've got it right, preach it. If you fixed it, preach it. You've got to prepare the ground, Brother Doug. You got to get it right. If you ain't got it right, you're never going to have a perfect garden. If our church can't wake up and see our own failures, we're not going to grow. We'll never go forward. We'll never see the Spirit the way it ought to. Why? Because we want a perfect garden without plowing the ground. We want a perfect church without getting it right. It'll never happen, Brother Steve. We'll never see it if we don't get it right. We got to acknowledge it. We got to gather the seed. And if we want it, I want a perfect garden. I want a perfect garden in my heart. I want a perfect garden in my home. I want a perfect garden in the church. I'd like the whole world to be a perfect garden. And one day, Brother John, it will be. But you got to prepare the ground. Yeah. You've got to prepare your heart, or you'll never have a perfect garden. Second thing, now that you've prepared, got your heart right, got your mind right, got your home right, you got the right seed, you got the right goals, you got the right aspirations, you've got the open door, now you got to plant. First, the gardener prepares the ground. And then he plants the ground. First thing under planting, three things you got to do according to plan is, number one, you got to plant the seed. It's no good to have the intended seeds without planting them. It's no good to have the ground without putting the seed in it. You can have the seed all day long. Remember that one little cartoon the kids had? The guy, they went out to outer space and came back 700,000 years later in the future. And now they was coming back to Earth. And the guy was planting pizzas and saying, we're going to get pizza popping out of the ground. He was planting the wrong seed. Yeah. He had seed, but it wasn't the right one. Right. What we want to do is we want to have a perfect garden. And we got bad seeds. We've not gathered the right thing. And then what we want to do is when we do get the right seeds, we want to hold on to them. We've got a good church. We've got a good family. Let's just pull it all right here to ourselves and hang on to it, hide it away. We need to plant the seed. What good is it to have it to go through the paddles if you're not willing to share them? Amen. We hide it away like we've never been there. I want you to know there ain't nothing new under the sun. Somebody has been where you are. Someone has faced what you faced. And if they didn't plant the seed, how would I ever know where I need to go and what I need to do? Paul says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Talk about reaping and sowing.
Yes.
For we are laborers together with God. Of God's, we are God's husbandry. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereon.
Yes.
Planting the seed comes with conditions. You've got to be careful what you plant. You've got to be careful how you plant it, Brother John. I'm about to get ahead of myself here. Let me get to the second one here and I'll tie them together. The second thing. First thing, you got to plant the seed. The second thing, you got to plant at the right time. If you plant the seed but it's in the middle of the winter, sorry, it probably isn't going to grow. Oftentimes we want our things to grow and we're doing it the wrong time. Listen to me. There's a time to plant and a time to reap. Oftentimes, I want to tell you, you know, our church is in a particular place right now. The mission field has opened wide to this church in the last few years. Almost by forced hand. Brother Angel Camacho's situation, and it forced us into a new arena. But I can tell you, before that, how many of you wanted to get into the mission field? How many was mission-minded and wanted to see things happen? If you got any sense of God, you ever around it, everybody wants to see the mission field grow. But there's a time and a place for it to happen. If you want to open a door when it's not God's time, all you'll do is spin your wheels. If you want things to come together before it's time, all you do is spin your wheels. If you want to get married before God's timing, all you'll do is spin your wheels. If you want to move before God's times, all you'll do is spin your wheels. Are you hearing me? You can gather the seed. You can have the desire. You can have the ground. Have opportunity. But if the time's not right, it's a wasted opportunity and wasted to plant the seed because all it'll do is not bring fruit. It'll die and be dead. Galatians chapter 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But on the flip side of that, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now there's a double-edged sword here on planting at the right time. It depends on what seed you're planting. The Scripture tells us that there are certain things that you only reap in its due or its required season. When the time is allowed, when the time comes to full, when the time comes to a completion. But Paul tells Timothy, there's times when you do it all the time. You and I have got to preach the word all the time. Whether it's season or out of season. Whether they want it or they don't. There are some seeds we plant because people don't want to hear it. It doesn't mean we don't need to plant it. It means you need to put it in the ground. But you need God to direct your heart to say, okay, Lord, I've got the seed. Is it the right time? Because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. God will let you know when it's time to plant, when it's time to open your mouth, or when it's time to shut up. God will tell you what to do if we'll listen. And we'll have a perfect garden. Third thing you have to do in planting is you plant according to the seed. You know, you don't plant a corn kernel or a corn seed, if I may, the same way that you plant potatoes. You don't do that. There's physical differences in the way. With that potato, now you can, here's the part you may have to correct me. If I understanding, when you plant that potato, you've got to dig it, you put it in the ground, and you've got to heal it up. Is that right? Heal, is that the right word? You've got to put a mound over top of that potato. You don't heal up corn. You don't do that. There are certain plants that you plant certain ways. And if you try to plant a squash plant the same way you plant potatoes, and you take that plant and you dig a hole and you put the whole plant down under the ground, I promise you, it's not going to bring any fruit. Because you don't plant it the same way. We often in our Christian walk is we want to plant and we want one blanket for everything. We want to look at every situation as being the same. Well, we did it here. That's the way we got to do it this way. It don't always work that way. What worked there may not work here. And we need to know the difference of how we plant. How do we know that? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't think it gets any plainer than that. Those times over here that he told us in Galatians, when that brother's been caught, those that are spiritual, restoring, this is it right here. This is what he's talking about. You're not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be not in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do we know if we're in the flesh or the Spirit? Because the Spirit will lead you. That's how. When you get out and there's a problem and there's that failure, I'll promise you, if there's a Spirit of God dwelling in you, He'll check your heart. He'll draw you. He'll woo you. Why? So that you could plant at the right time, the right seed at the right time, and God will keep you in check. Right. Every seed's got to be planted a different way. You need to let God's Spirit lead you on how to plant. If there's a problem, okay, Lord. Now, I mean, let me try to make that a little more clear. I thought all day, good illustrations, and to be quite honest, I don't believe I have a good illustration to really describe what's in my heart. Leading your children. When you start out, here's a little baby coming up right here. Some of the greatest decisions for that child will be made very soon. Already, to be matter of fact. The decision to have the child here tonight is a decision. You can have all the knowledge about how to raise kids. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people say now, when I, if I had a kid, it would never do such and such and such. That's the most dangerous thing you'll ever open your mouth and say. I promise you, you will eat those words. They will come back to haunt you. But you have a plan, and you want to implement it. The way you raise your kids, you can either take that knowledge and you can sow it to the flesh, or you can sow it to the Spirit. It's that simple. How you implement, you may have the knowledge of correction the right way, but how you implement that knowledge is going to make all the difference in the world. How you plant that seed is going to make all the difference in the world. You can have all the knowledge. You can have the seed. You can have the right seed. But if you don't do it right, you've wasted your time. You can have a game plan after retirement. Good, solid seeds. But if you try to implement them too fast, it'll be a waste of time. I've got these goals, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I mean, we all do it at the beginning of the year. We set those New Year resolutions and all those things. You've got good seeds, but if you don't plant them right, they're not going to come to maturity. And every decision you make, you've got a way to take it and choose it to the flesh or to choose it to the Spirit. Every decision. What you do on your job, you can choose. You can know the right decision is to be a good employee and do the right job. But you may feel bad in your flesh that day, and you can choose to be lazy. You can choose to sow to the flesh, or you can choose to sow to the Spirit. I'm trying. I'm throwing out as many illustrations as I can to get you to think about what I'm talking about. Everything, it's just not being... I'm not talking merely about salvation tonight. I'm talking about everything you think, everything you say, every place you go. You can sow to the Spirit or you can sow to the flesh. You can have a good garden and a perfect garden, or you can have a bad garden. You need to know how to plant the seed. And the only way that you can do that is to go to God and say, lead me. I find in my marriage, you may know it up here, you may have it in your heart, but being able to implement it is a whole nother situation. I constantly find myself going back to God and saying, God, I know what I need to do, but how do I do it? How do I put it into effect? How do I plant this that's going to bring full maturity of this situation? God, you've got to lead me to know how to do this. And sometimes God says, well, you plant potatoes like this. And then God says, well, you need to plant them like this. How many of you ever see, I believe the movie was Facing the Giants, the second movie they played, where the coach was in the hallway with the man, and the man asked him the story, told him the story. He said two men were planting a garden, planting a field. Both of them were praying for rain, and both of them were praying for a good harvest. But one prepared the ground and one didn't. Which man had faith? He said, of course, the obvious answer is the man who plowed the ground. You may know that you need to go out and do it. And you may know how to do it. You may know, well, this is where I need to be there. I need to be part of that. I don't need to go there. But implementing, it's a whole other situation. It's hard to know what to do and to judge the balance, church. Times to stay and times to go. Times to talk and times to shut up. Are you listening to me? You know what I'm talking about. And what we need to do is be people that says, God, lead me to know how to plant right. Because I want a perfect garden. It's the best I can give you. Whether you understand it or not, that's the best I can give you. Number three. Not only do you have to plow the garden, you have to prepare, you have to plant, and now you have to patiently maintain. Once the seed's in the ground and the plants are in the ground, you don't just walk away from the garden. Now the garden needs weeded. Now the garden needs debugged. Now the garden needs watered. The first thing you have to do is get rid and keep out the weeds. Jesus said, "He that receives the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful." If you're going to have a good garden, you got to maintain it and you got to get rid of the weeds. Jesus said that the cares of life are weeds. I know Brother Doug used him tonight, Brother John, others. Ben, Brother Al, sewage problems. Brother Doug's working on his garage, Brother John on his house. I mean, I'll probably go to every man. I haven't talked to you and hadn't heard you share your stories, but you got homes, you got problems. You got jobs, you got problems. You got family, you got problems. Sorry, that's what it is. But what you have to do is weed the cares of life out. Jesus said, "Cast all your cares," Sister Knox said it tonight, "on me." Why? Because He cares for us. When those cares in life overwhelm you, they'll choke you to death. They will destroy your garden. You may have good seed. You may have prepared the ground. You may have planted it just right. You may have everything in order. But if you don't keep out the weeds, they'll choke you to death. And you'll never have a garden. The cares of life. Don't you let me tell you, the cares of life have been choking out our services. Somebody say amen. Come on. I can speak for me if I can't speak for you. Sickness chokes out the life of you. If you're sick, you don't feel like praying. If you're sick, you don't feel like being here. You're gone. It chokes you, Brother Steve. The cares of life, you can't stop it. I saw today, went to the doctor today, had a sign, "If you got a cold, we recommend please put on a mask." I thought, that is good. And I had to put on there. That's just good recommendation. Because you're sick, you can't stop it. You go to Walmart, you get a hold of the buggy. You go to the door, you open it up. You go here, you touch it. That guy in front of you, now you got it. You can't stop it. It's just a care of life.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, they'll choke you out. They'll destroy your garden. And you'll never have a perfect garden.
Right.
Weed your garden. The deceitfulness of riches, they'll choke you out. Not only got rid of the weeds, you got to get rid of the bugs. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes that wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Not only do you got bugs, that those natural, or those weeds, those natural things, they're everywhere, Brother John. Got them in your yard, you got them in the air. The birds carry them and they end up in that garden. I don't care how much you till it. You can till it up and you can spray it with Roundup. You can put grass all over that thing. You can smother it out. You can put plastic and tarp it through the winter and open it up in the spring and it's all bare ground. Not a stitch of grass. But somehow, them old weeds end up in the garden again. It's just a natural thing of life. But not only that, is you got the old enemy, the beetle, and the worms and the grubs that will eat at your plant. We have an enemy that wants to destroy us. We have a roaring lion that wants to devour and eat our garden. He does not want our plants to come to maturity. He wants all of our labors to come to vain. He wants all of our struggles to be destroyed. He wants our families destroyed, our church destroyed, our jobs destroyed. He wants our nation destroyed. He wants our world destroyed. He hates us, Brother Mac. Our enemy wants to destroy us. And we've got to be on guard of the enemy. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, you're not alone. We're all in the same ship. We're all with the same battles. We've all got the same struggles and temptations. And the devil wants to destroy our perfect garden. We have got to maintain our garden, Brother John. I'm telling you, there's times when it seems like you can't get rid of the bugs. You can't get rid of the enemy. The weeds are choking you out. It seems when you get rid of the devil, then the weeds grow up and the cares of life come at you. It's just, I mean, they don't make dishwashers to last any longer. It's just where we are. Tires on your car wear out. The pews wear out. Material, the clothes fall off your back. That's where we're in a world of corruption and the natural decay will destroy us and our enemy will destroy us if we're not careful maintaining our garden. If we do not stay on our toes, we will sow to the flesh and our garden will be destroyed. Can you hang with me just a little bit longer? The third thing you have to do in maintaining that garden is you got to keep it watered. And that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, that they believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." If you're going to maintain your perfect garden, you've got to be filled and stay filled with the Spirit of God. If you don't maintain your spirituality, your garden will decay and rot. You've got to pour in the water. "Come unto me, all ye that laden and are heavy laden, and come unto me, all you that..." Yeah, praise God, you know the Scripture. Tired. In so many ways, I'm tired. Number four, picking and reaping. You prepare the ground, you plant the ground, you patiently maintain the ground, and then you pick the harvest. Or you reap. Three things that determine your picking. Number one, how you prepared. Number two, how you planted. Number three, how you maintained. If you planted bad seeds, you're going to get bad seeds. If you didn't plow the ground, it'll never come to maturity. If you didn't seize the opportunity in the open door, you'll never reap. Because you will only reap what you have planted, and that only is what you will reap. Nothing else. Nothing else. You will only reap if you're prepared. You will only reap if you have planted. And you will only reap if you have maintained. But if you have done all these things, Jesus said, "Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap." My wife and I was talking about this very subject tonight in closing, Sunday afternoon on our way home from church. It's actually what gave me the idea and stirred my heart to go to this direction. One thing about gardening, planting and reaping, in this world is concerned, there comes an end to the harvest. You can plant it. You can do all the preparations. You can maintain it. You can harvest it. But eventually, the tomato plants will quit producing. The potatoes will be no more. The cucumbers will stop bearing. And the harvest is over. And you will have to start the process anew. When you sow to the flesh, and you sow to the Spirit, the process never ends. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption forever. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life. How long? Everlasting. Planting in the kingdom of God or planting in this world, it never ends. With that said, I am glad, Brother John, that my Lord made a way for you and I, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There may be things that you will reap from your past forever in this world. It's that simple. Some things you can't undo. Some things will haunt you till the day you die. You will never outrun them. And if you do outrun them, the devil will find you and remind you of them. I promise you. You will find out again. But Brother John, when God forgave me, He forgave me. Brother Doug said it right tonight. He says, you will have those consequences forever. And then he put a qualifier on it. Unless it's under the blood. Because when I may reap it here, but God won't hold it against me forever, Brother John, there comes an end to the reaping. But on the flip side of that, if I sow the good seed and I see the door, and I seize the opportunity and I plant the ground and I prepare my heart and I get it right with God and I prepare and I gather the right seeds, I take those seeds and I place those good seeds in the ground in a proper way. And I maintain those seeds in a proper way. And I get rid of the weeds. And I get rid of the bugs. And I water as it ought to be. I can be assured that I'm going to reap life everlasting. I can be received one day, Sister Helen. I will live in a perfect garden. I had hope in this life only, I would be a miserable, miserable man. But I've got life everlasting. I've got a hope of tomorrow. I've got a kingdom that is coming to you and I. And I one day will have a perfect garden. I will live in a perfect garden. But it all depends on how you plant now. Is what garden you will end up in. If you plant bad seeds, you will end up in a garden of decay forever. If you plant good seeds, you will end up in a garden that is everlasting life. Let us stand, please. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Father, I thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness to us tonight. Help us, Lord. We are planting a garden. Some stages we are reaping. Some stages we are maintaining. Some stages we're just beginning. And we've just begun to plant. Some of our lives, Lord, we've done all of our planting and maintaining. And we're now enjoying the fruits of labor. Some things, Lord, we're reaping the harvest that we haven't even planted. That other men have labored and planted. And we're reaping their benefits. But whatever the case may be, Lord God, we are in a garden. And we are planting. We are in this process of life, Lord, and I ask You to help us. Help us, God, to know what to do. Lead us, direct us, fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your wisdom. Fill us with Your knowledge. Give us help. Cover our hearts with Your Spirit. We need You more now than we've ever needed You, Lord. God, and I'm so aware that we're going to need You more as the days go on. Father, we need You tonight. We need Your direction. Our church needs it. We need it in our individual families, on our jobs, Lord, in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds. We need Your direction, God. I ask You to help us. Give us strength. Father, if we ever get to a place that we're not sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit, God, I want You to check us. I want You to prick us. I want You to draw us. I want You to stir us that we will, God, stay on track, that we will not allow ourselves, God, to venture off the path, but stay in that narrow way, to stay in the garden, to maintain it, to keep out the weeds and the enemy that wishes to destroy us. Lead us in days to come, Lord God. We can have a harvest. Lord, this church has been planting for so many years. God, I'm asking You for some areas of harvest. There's some new areas that we're just planting. I'm asking You to help us to do it right. Help us to be timely. Help us to do it in right fashions and do it the right way according to Your will and Your direction. Help us, Lord, to maintain what has been planted. Help us to reap what needs to be reaped and what needs to be harvested. Help us, Lord, to go in right directions always. God, I want a perfect garden. I desire it. Lord, I believe we can have it. I believe we can have it, God, but only through You. Only through Your Spirit. Only through Your direction. Lead us, Lord, in days to come. Help us to overcome. Help us to endure. For he that endures to the end shall be saved. Lead us, God, and direct us. Be with us in days to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.